This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed, located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our special guest is Tom Horvath. Tom's professional career has taken him from the mailroom to the boardroom, with roles ranging from customer service rep to chief operating officer. Tom's career illustrates practical expertise in areas like strategy formulation, leadership consulting, executive coaching, product development, and on and on. These skills and capabilities were developed at blue chip companies such as Prudential, Standard Register, Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, and CNL. After investing the first half of his professional life in various corporate roles, Tom has founded and operates Horvath & Associates, a consulting company focusing on leadership development. Tom, it's an honor to have you here today.
Well, thanks, Sam. It's great to be here, and on behalf of all of your listeners, thanks for what you do by amassing all of this wisdom and recordings. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Tom. I think maybe listeners might be interested, first of all, to know that this is your second podcast. We couldn't let you get away with just one.
I get a do-over.
We get a do-over, a do-better, and whatever. But the first podcast was called The Benefit of Doubt. And for those listeners that might want to go back and re-listen or listen for the first time, those things are easily searchable on iTunes and so forth. One of the things that interests me about your activities in the past is something you did at Merrill Lynch, and that has to do with helping the company gain the Malcolm Baldrige Award. What was your role in that?
Wow, that was a while ago, 20-some years ago, and I was on a team. There were several teams that were assembled. I was at that time in the marketing department, so I was on the marketing team. And each team was trained in what is now called Six Sigma and Lean and those kinds of disciplines. And we took a journey that was probably 12 to 14 months of documenting the business, learning how to make it more efficient, and then ultimately being examined by the board for the Malcolm Baldrige Award, and we won that. So it was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. It was really neat. That was a huge thrust back at that time in terms of gaining that award and a
back
monumental effort. So even though it was a bit ago, congratulations.
Well, thanks.
Now, the other thing that you're here for today is we have started what we're calling Wisdom Academy here at Northland Church. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who may not be familiar with that, the vision of the Wisdom Academy is to ignite and transform business people everywhere to be wiser leaders by successfully blending biblical principles in life that impact the world for Christ. And that you have been gracious enough to offer your time to teach a course under the Wisdom Academy. And this course is Chasing Wisdom with an Integrated Life. Could you give us a bit of an overview about what that course is? I think I'd like to drill into that so people can understand what the main themes are.
Sure. The integrated life is a phrase, is a concept that not unique to me, but certainly one that I have spent several decades discovering, and I'm still on that path of discovery. And it really starts off with deciding whether someone wants an integrated life or a balanced life. One of the hot topics in business is, you know, more balance, more work-life balance. And decades ago, I was really struggling with that because that was my goal. I wanted more balance. Mm. And through the journey, and that's part of what I'll be able to teach, part of the journey was, first of all, acknowledging that I really didn't want a balanced life. I really wanted an integrated life.
And when you think about those two phrases or two words, the integrated and the balanced, they almost conjure up meanings immediately in people. And they're really different things, aren't they?
Yes. When you think of the word balanced, balance, work-life balance, the definition of balance is trying to reach some state of equilibrium or an equal distribution of something. And when we talk about work-life, I think people mean, they want an equal distribution between work and life. Mm-hmm. So is where work and life is really in a tug of war. It's this constant tension. And the goal of a balanced life is to try to reach some equilibrium. On the other hand, an integrated life, the word integrated, the definition there means, either combining or coordinating different elements to provide some type of a harmonious or interrelated whole, where life can be a complete picture, all the pieces, pouring into that. So just in the definitions of the word balance and integrated, I was confronted with a decision of what I wanted. Did I want the tug of war of balance, or did I want something that looked integrated where everything had its part?
So when a leader thinks about this in a corporate world or outside the corporate world, or a non-leader, the idea is how do you put things together as a whole for integration versus how do you cut things off of your plate in an effort to almost specialize? Is that kind of the theme we're looking at here?
Yes, that is one way that people approach this. What do I take away from one or the other? And when you try to reach a balanced work life, some people measure that in time. Some people measure that in emotion and effort. Some people measure that in results. And the more and more research I did, I discovered that there really was no definition of work-life balance. It is mm-hmm. something that each person defines for themselves, similar to I want to be wealthy or I want to be happy or it's one of these moving targets. And I discovered as a type A personality, a driver, I knew I would never reach it because I would constantly be raising the bar. And therein lied some of the frustration and just acknowledging the fact that, I'm chasing a goal that I'm never going to achieve. Mm-hmm. Why am I doing that? Is there a different, is there a better way?
And I know one of the illustrations you used is for a balanced life, it's like walking a tightrope.
Yeah, if you ask me to in a sentence or two to describe the difference between integrated and balanced, a balanced life is like walking on a tightrope, always fearing that you're going to fall off. But an integrated life is walking confidently with others, not by yourself, but walking confidently with others on a path where each step leads to greater understanding and I'll even add greater wisdom as we walk together.
When people are listening to this podcast and they're trying to think about themselves as leaders, it's kind of managing yourself or leading yourself, as I understand what you're saying, and that we don't often talk about becoming a wiser leader by managing ourselves or leading ourselves better.
Yeah, as a leader, I can't give people what I don't already have. So you are correct. A lot of this is self-awareness, self-development, deciding for ourselves what kind of a leader do I want to be? What kind of a life do I want to have? And, that was one of the cold realities I was faced with decades ago. Here I was chasing this thing called work-life balance. And then when I asked myself why, it was because, it just seemed like the thing to do. I mean, that's what everyone was talking about. Everyone was saying they needed more work-life balance, and people were writing about it. And I went, well, great, I need some too then. But when I really thought about it, I went, well, wait a minute. Where did the idea come from, and what does it mean? And as I really started to dig in and wrestle with what it meant for me, that's where I discovered I think there was a better way of doing it other than trying to be balanced. So, instead of following the crowd, the wisdom of the world, if you would, really asking yourself, what do I want? And more importantly, as a Christian, what does Scripture demonstrate and mm-hmm. say? What kind of a life am I supposed to live?
So when you're coaching, you do executive coaching, you do all kinds of things in the consulting world, and somebody says to you, well, what should I be doing? Should I be looking for a balanced life or looking for an integrative life in terms of moving myself forward in the world? And what advice would you give them there? Is there an either or here?
Well, I first usually ask them, well, tell me what you mean by balance. And usually that's the last question I have to ask because they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know what it means. I didn't know what it means. I mean, part of my story and journey of this, career was going well, family was going well, but I still felt this lack of, quote, balance. And so I started deciding, well, you know, I've got to give 100% to my work. I've got to give 100% when I'm home. And really, it created some unrealistic expectations. And now looking back, my wife and I call them the Norman Rockwell expectations. And this related to unmet expectations at home. You might remember that Norman Rockwell picture of Thanksgiving. There's this beautifully cooked turkey.
Yes.
And everyone's around the table. And it doesn't appear like anyone's arguing. I mean, it's just a perfect, idyllic American picture of Thanksgiving. Well, I started to form Norman Rockwell images in my mind, the way birthdays were going to be, the way weekends were going to be, the way holidays were going to be. And then when that didn't happen, I was shattered. And that just played more into this fact that I wasn't getting as much out of life as what I was supposed to. And my wife would remind me, we don't live in a Norman Rockwell world. So back to your question of an executive or any leader saying, well, is it balance? Is it well, what does balance mean? And what do you want? What do you want your life to look like? Because quite frankly, if your number one pursuit in life is success and money and power, go for it. I mean, don't even play the game of trying to live a, quote, balanced life. Just go all out for that, but be true to yourself. Now, hopefully that is not the case in many leaders, and they do want some kind of a legacy that they would leave as a leader and as a father or as a mother or as a friend or as a church member, as a leader at work. But it really starts with deciding what you want the end game to be and then how do you want to get there. And again, I am submitting that, you know, trying to think of life as an integrated, these little pieces and parts all play into the whole. For me, that's much more satisfying than walking that tightrope every day.
One of the things that I think about is, as you and I exchange materials for this podcast and prepared for it, is that so many entrepreneurs are type A personalities. Mm-hmm. They focus on usually tasks. And when you think about, especially the successful ones, they have four or five tasks that they perform, and they go hard at those four or five. And then at some point in time, they become disillusioned with how fulfilled they seem to be. And once that fulfillment, life fulfillment, starts to diminish, their effectiveness as a wise leader tends to diminish. So when you think about this, if I'm on the right track here, that the entrepreneur or the hard driver is moving toward those goals, and they have defined their vision as those four or five tasks, but in reality, for the life that's satisfying, the vision needs to be broader than that. Does a person in this role, Tom, need to be thinking about what vision do you have for yourself, almost like a company vision?
Well, definitely my own personal vision, the vision of the organization which I'm a part of, even the vision of my family, the vision of my church. I mean, all of those should be integrated because that's how we live our life. We don't live our lives compartmentalized, where as soon as we close the car door, well, there ends everything that relates to my family, and now I've got to be 100% business or vice versa. So yes, it starts with vision. And I would submit to you from an individual leader perspective, just as an organization, when they go out to set their vision, they listen to many voices. They have many counselors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think as an individual, you need that too. I have mentors in my life. I have coaches in my life. And I think making sure that you are listening to other people because, you know, that what you described getting started in my career or getting started in my business and I'm focused on those three or four things because this is what I'm good at and this is how I'm going to be successful. There's nothing wrong with that. But you need some other voices in that conversation to let you know, hey, when you get there, it might not look as like you think it's going to look because, you know, that was my story. Or, I mean, you need to have those other voices. So yes, this is certainly about, you know, understanding your own personal vision. But I would stress that it's not in isolation. All of the visions of your world need to be integrated. Otherwise, you're going to be bouncing around and nothing's going to make sense.
Right, right. Excellently stated. We have a feature called Sunday to Monday in each podcast. And basically, it's what scripture might you read or what might you hear from a pulpit on Sunday and take it forward. And I know that you have submitted one and would like to talk about one that has to do with all things. And it's pretty consistent here in that we're talking about all things that a leader needs to consider and using God as sort of a role model for, quote unquote, all things. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your Sunday to Monday.
Well, one of the bumper sticker Bible verses in Christendom is Romans 8:28. You know, where Paul says that all things, we know that all things, that God, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and those who called according to his purpose. And we say it a lot, usually to make ourselves feel better about situations that aren't happening the way we want them to, but just pull back. All things. I mean, that means all things, everything we're talking about here. So the struggles that I'm having as a husband or a spouse, the struggles that I'm having at work, all of those things, if we love God, if we're following the purpose which he has put on our life, God works it all out. So many times I try to work it out.
Yes.
Because it's not working. I'm a fixer. I've got to fix it. And part of this integrated life journey is understanding that I don't have to fix everything or everybody, and that eventually God will work it out in his way and in his time.
And you say all things means all things, and you also say that you can add to it every day, everywhere.
Well, yeah, because I don't know about your life, but things keep happening to me every day. So very rarely are we stuck with a fixed set of things. It's constantly changing, and the world's throwing stuff at us. And, you know, and if it wasn't that way, we'd all be bored. But, yeah, and the minute I think I've got it figured out, there's going to be some change. And that's the life of a leader, leading myself through that change, but then also leading other people through that change. And part of the theme of great leadership needs to be, it's going to be okay. We're going to get there together. It's all going to work out for good.
And when we think about the idea of becoming a wiser leader, the notion here is that you become a wiser leader through this focus by making yourself a whole person and not just being task oriented, but other ideas in terms of relationships come into play. One question that people might be asking themselves is how do you know who you are? In other words, one of the things that that we talk about is, okay, we're going to focus, and these are the tasks I'm going to do. And when you're off task, then one of the things you start to do, let's eliminate these other things. But what we're talking about is for the long-run refreshment of the person, you need those other things involved. Mm-hmm. So you're not only monitoring the tasks that the entrepreneur might be involved in, but what are the things people-wise, relationships-wise, faith-wise, that come into play? And so it becomes a matter of how do you know yourself so that you can start to use the gifts you have to build yourself in a proper fashion. And one of the questions that keeps coming to my mind is, and you tell me if this is relevant, is what are you passionate about? What are the things that bring joy to you? As you look at those, the introspection becomes extremely important in this. It's almost like the environmental analysis when you're doing your strategic plan.
Very much so.
What's in your environment? And then how do you move on with it?
Well, yes, and it's the introspection, you know, you looking at yourself, trying to understand yourself more and more, and that is a journey for all of us. But also, it's the external analysis that we do in business. And in this particular case, it's having those other voices. You know, I'm doing some of the things that I'm doing today, not because I identified themselves for myself. It was because someone else said, hey, when you do this, you really light up. You're really good at this. So, yes, it's introspection, but it's having other people that speak into your life and provide you some additional awareness, because many times we don't see some of the things that we're really good at, and quite frankly, sometimes we don't see some of the things we're not very good at. But having trusted people that can speak into our lives, who have our best interest at heart, that is also part of this. So, yes, developing your own vision, but internal and external analysis. And then for a Christian, everything has to be read and interpreted through the lens of Scripture. I mean, I can think one thing and someone can confirm that, but if that is contrary to Scripture, then I'm going down the wrong road.
Right. Our pearl of wisdom ends the podcast. And your pearl of wisdom that you offered was, don't rely on worldly wisdom, but on God's wisdom, which he gives graciously.
Yeah, he has a tendency to do that. God gives his children very good things, and we have to not only just accept them, but recognize them as God's gifts to us. So, yes, is there wisdom in the world? Sure, but the very best wisdom is the stuff that comes from God. He is the source of all truth and of all wisdom.
That's a great point to end your podcast on, Tom. And I'm sorry, but your time is up here. This was Tom Horvath and his insights on maintaining an integrated life. You can connect with Tom with the email address tomhorvath.com, TOMHORVATH.com. Thanks to your listeners for tuning in. You can keep in contact with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. Keep up with Chasing Wisdom activities and events by going to northlandchurch.net and searching on Wisdom Academy. If you'd like more information about Tom's upcoming Academy course called Chasing Wisdom with an Integrated Life, please feel free to contact me directly at ssurto@rollins.edu, rollins.edu. Until you tune in next Wisdom Wednesday, you know what I'm going to say, keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Surto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Surto? Email him at ssurto@rollins.edu.